All right. Praise the Lord. How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, fine. Yeah, doing good. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Those of us online, welcome. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "You Are Good." Good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. And you are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly. Friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood veiled for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Amen. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? Page 2 this time. 551? 583. I don't know yet. 583. Slow Turner. Okay, 583. You are my all in all. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's Dennis Jernigan. Yep, right at the bottom of the page there. Oh, yeah, we all know that one. All right.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. Yeah. Any others? 344? All right. 34. The blood will never lose its power. That's a good one. Oh, 344. I heard 334. 344, a little different. Grace greater than our sin. Thank you. All right. 344, grace greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace,
Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. Praise the Lord.
They didn't beat us, did they?
No, but good to have you online, folks. Amen. Amen. The online folks and folks that are here tonight, that's really a good crowd for Wednesday night on a hot on a hot Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
In the middle of June. Amen. That's pretty good. All right. What do we have in the area of praises and testimonies? Anybody got a praise or a testimony? Yes, sir. Brother Ronnie Vaculik has a praise.
Yeah, our daughter's just in Austin. It's so hard to get a house, but they finally found one and getting out of the rent house, and they signed today at noon, so they're really excited. They got their house they wanted.
Amen. And this is in Austin?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Penny.
Bought the first house.
Wait a minute.
All right. And that's...
I got to wait till you don't.
What are their names again? Maria and Edward, yes. And three boys?
Yes, sir.
Three boys. Yeah. All right. What do we have? Praises. All right. Penny's got a praise.
I do. I got hired on for a job at the RV park that I'm renting at.
Really?
And they're going to cut like half off my rent.
Well, good for you, man.
So that's going to help me out.
Oh, way to go. All right. What are you doing there?
Just going to be doing the
cleaning in the office. Okay, cool. All right. How many hours a week? 10 hours a week? Man, all right. For half of your rent? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal. All right. There are jobs. If you want to work, the job's out there, aren't there, Brother John? All right. Got a job, man. Penny got a job. Were you looking for a job, Penny? Not really. Just kind of showed up, huh? Wow. Amen. Uh-huh. Pays the rent. All right, Bobby's got a praise.
Okay, yeah, I got a praise, and I showed it to the pastor a while ago, just before church. My friend Isaac's son, Jason, that had the swimming pool accident, actually sent a video to me about him actually doing physical therapy, moving his arms, moving his legs, of course, he's on a big old halo deal on his head.
Yeah, right.
But God is good.
Amen.
And we just need to continue praying for him, too, Jason.
Neck injury. And he's doing rehab. And he's doing quite well. Looks like he's doing quite well with the halo on and everything. Doing
correct
quite
for
well.
Somebody that was paralyzed from the accident.
Whoo, mercy.
Yeah.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. That's a good song. Let me sing that song, amen. Count your many blessings. Amen. You pick that one next time. All right, you pick that one. Pastor wants me to pick one. All right, praises. Any other praises? Okay, James has got a praise.
I just want to praise the Lord. I got my mama's grass cut today.
Yeah.
And I got her ice maker fixed. And I think that was more important than that ice maker because I was a little shaky on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everything
was good.
Amen.
And she's happy.
That's good. James's mama's happy.
Amen.
Mama's happy, everybody's happy, right?
Right.
Honeydew list for the week is done. Honeydew. All right. Any other praises?
Yeah, right over here.
All right.
Miss Becky.
Becky has a praise. All right, Becky.
Well, I actually need to have y'all pray for my mother. And I want to praise God for my mother. She's 92. Wonderful woman. And she has 11 children. And my brother wanted to rotate everybody calling her every day because she's home alone.
Yeah.
And she thinks I call her every day, so I told him I'd just do it because people work. So I call her every day, and it's really awesome to talk to your mother every day.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think you'd have something to say, but you do. And
anyway,
the prayer for her is the doctor said to keep her feet up above her heart, and she has her hand has a blood vessel that burst and swole up her hand, so now she's got to keep that above her head, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So she's just sitting on a couch with everything up in the air.
Right.
And I just pray, and it's painful in her hand, and I just pray that heals real quick.
And what's your mom's name again?
Her name's Dorothy McQuaw.
Dorothy.
That's an old name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dorothy.
Hands.
But I thank God for my mother. She took us to church with a switch in her purse.
A switch in her purse.
Thank you,
Big. Amen. Back when you could hit them, right. Amen. What else? Any other praises? All right, prayer requests then. All right, Miss Bicky has a prayer request.
Yeah, I want to pray for Bobby's daughter, Amanda. She had surgery this morning, and we thought it was going to be tomorrow. So I'm just going to thank God that it came out all right. And then Saturday, we're having a family reunion in Orange, and I just want to pray for traveling mercy for all the families driving to and from.
Is it reunion indoors?
In and out.
Okay. I hope y'all have air conditioning.
Well, she said she had 3 covered awnings in our backyard.
Okay. Covered for surgery, and then this is a Coons family reunion?
I gotta wait till everybody quits talking. Before I hand
it. All right. I'm just gonna say Coons family reunion. Yeah, you got seniority, so you tell them what kind of reunion it's gonna be. All right, traveling mercies to Orange and back. All right. All right, Miss Alita's got a prayer request.
Yes, pray for John Thornhill as he travels with the Home Builders.
Oh, when is
Christian
that done?
Christian Builders Association, I think.
Are y'all local this year? Okay. All right. It's over there, Aldi. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So y'all be traveling back and forth every day and every evening. Oh, they don't have the showers. You're just going to stay out there. Sleep in the church? Yeah. All right. Local. Right. Have mercy, man. You want a fan this time of year. Anything back there? All right, Jeremiah's got a prayer request.
Sharon Heibarger, my 2 oldest grandkids are at their church camp this week. Prayers for a great experience and for safety there and back.
All right. Grandkids. Youth camp. Grandkids, youth camp. Good experience. Safe travel. All right. Very good. Yes, sir, James. James, you got a prayer request?
Yes.
James has a prayer request.
Got a couple. Well, my mom, she's going to have a CAT scan Friday.
Okay.
And we lift her up, and I got two friends, again, Jeff Justin, who has the leukemia.
Jeff Justin.
Uh-huh. And I got another friend. Her name is Karen Hudson. She has, stomach cancer. It's around her appendix area.
Oh, my.
Karen
Hudson?
Hudson.
And we're calling it stomach cancer?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm calling it because it's around her appendix, and they can't mess with it because it's all the scar tissue and the cancer right in there is. But anyway, she's in remission. She's had it for a couple of years. So,
yeah.
But she's. No.
Okay.
And we'll pray for our nation.
Amen.
In America.
Pray for these oil companies. They'll get a conscience.
Oh, I tell you.
Amen. These oil companies get a conscience, man.
I'm going to trade that Tundra in and get me a Volkswagen.
We all be driving Priuses before it's over with. A line of plugs. Everybody plug it in.
Especially cutting grass 90-something miles away up and back.
Ooh, mercy.
It used to be a $20 trip. Now it's a $55 trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where it's at. All right.
That's all. We'll make it.
We'll make it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, at least the cars are not lined up around the block. Remember back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Or was that the 70s?
Yeah.
Cars lined up.
Odd even days.
Yeah. People fighting.
And only 10 gallons at a time.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Even when a Democrat's in office. He went low. Praise preacher went low tonight. Low blow. Yeah. Keystone was a beautiful idea. Maybe Keystone. You know what I told him? I wrote a letter. Did I tell you about the letter? I told you about the letter. I said, man, you don't remember the letter? I wrote a letter. I said, you could turn that into the most beautiful green way the world has ever seen. You got your Keystone Pipeline, and then on either side, you've got green space and a bike track all the way to Canada and back, man. Dirt on one side, asphalt on the other. You want a road bike it, you want a mountain bike it, it would have been glorious. And the oil company's got enough money to pay for it. They could have had it halfway done by now. It's coming. Wait till November. It's coming.
Yep.
All right. Amen. Anything else? Unspoken. Yes, rain. We got to have that rain, man. It looked like it was going to rain, but never rained. And almost without fail, if I water my grass, it rains. And I've watered and it has not rained. It's not working. Amen, amen. We got a lot to praise God for, though. Amen?
Amen?
We got air conditioning tonight and a padded pew and lights and amen. We got a lot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you for all the goodness and the grace that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for the grace we got to sing about tonight because it really is a grace proposition why any of us are here tonight, how any of us are saved tonight, why we're still alive tonight. It is your grace, and we praise you for your grace and your mercy and your overwhelming love to us and for us and how you care for us, Lord. And in spite of everything going on, you're still in control. We've got to hold to that, lean into that, believe in that, Lord, and just praise you for that. So, Lord, as we come to you tonight with these praises, we thank you that Ronnie and Alita's family, their daughter, has been able to find daughter, son-in-law, and children have been able to find a house in the Austin area. We give you the praise and the glory for that, Lord. We pray that be a good transition for them as they move in, and they make many, many years of great memories at that new house. So we praise you and thank you for that. We thank you for Penny's job from above, helping her with her rent there at the RV park. Thank you for that, Lord, and we give you the praise. Let's do your name for that. Lord, we lift up Bobby's praise tonight for Isaac's son, Jason, and his recovery from this neck injury. We thank you, Lord. He was paralyzed, but now he's moving arms, and he's sitting upright. We know that's a miracle of God, and we just praise you and thank you for that tonight, Lord, for Isaac's son, Jason, and his recovery. And then, Lord, we thank you that James was able to get everything done at his mom's house. The honeydew list is cleared for the week, and so we give you praise and glory for that. And, Lord, as we come to you tonight, we also praise you for Becky's mom, 92 years old, 11 kids, saintly woman, saved, blood-bought, headed for the day of redemption. We praise you and thank you for her life. And, Lord, we pray that you help her with her hand, you help her with her legs. And, Lord, you bring the swelling down and you bring the healing to that hand. And, Lord, just get her back going again. And, Lord, thank you for the years that you blessed her with, 92 years, and has relatively good health for 92. We praise you for that. Lord, we do come to you tonight as we lift these requests up. We pray for rain. Lord, we're praying for some cooler temperatures. We pray this high-pressure system would just begin to dissolve and a couple of low pressures would move through here and bring some good old rain, Lord. We need it. Lord, we pray you open your heavens and the floodgates and allow the blessings of rain to just pepper the land around here, green things back up, Lord, and cool things off. So, Lord, we're putting that before you tonight. We love you. We know you're the God that can do it. And so, Lord, we're praying for rain tonight. We lift up Bobby's daughter to you, Amanda, recovering from surgery. We pray that her stay in the hospital would be brief, Lord. Her recovery at home would be quick. And, Lord, she would get back to going and doing what she needs to be doing. We pray for the Coons and this multiple family reunion there in Orange, Texas. We pray for traveling mercies for all the folks involved. We pray for a good time together as family as they catch up and have a good reunion. Watch over them, Lord. Bless their endeavors. We pray that nobody gets heat sick, that everybody stays cool. And, Lord, it's just a good reunion. We lift up Brother John and the local mission trip he's got going, Texas Christian Builders. Lord, we pray you watch over them, help them as they get that church over there in Aldine whipped up in shape. And, Lord, just watch over them. Help them take the breaks that they need to take and not get overheated and not get sick. And so, Lord, we just lift up Brother John and that group. Coming together to do that great work there in Aldine. We lift up Sharon Heibarger's kids to you this evening, Lord, her grandkids there in youth camp. We're praying for a good experience, Lord. We pray the Holy Spirit touch them, that, Lord, they Word of God is planted deep in their hearts. And, Lord, they just have a good experience around that that youth camp atmosphere. We pray for safety coming home, traveling mercies for them. And then, Lord, we lift up James's mom to you again, having a CAT scan on Friday. We pray that that would be uneventful, Lord, that there not be anything serious wrong. We lift up Jeff Justin with the leukemia, Lord. We pray you touch his body and bring healing to Jeff. We lift up Karen Hudson with the stomach cancer, Lord. We pray you might remove that from her. As we are hearing tonight, it's probably inoperable. So, Lord, we're just praying for her, praying that it stays in remission. Lord, we lift Karen up to you and Jeff up to you tonight. We pray for our nation tonight, Lord, and we pray for these crazy gas prices. Lord, it's just incredible. We pray that you might move these different oil companies and different players involved, Lord. They'd step up the production. They would step up the exploration. Certainly, oil's enough. They can go out and look for it now. They can make money finding it, Lord. So we pray all that would happen and that, Lord, these prices would begin to come back down. We lift up the unspokens to you tonight. And, Lord, we know that you hear us when we say these to you silently as we're sitting in the pew. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us another service, another prayer opportunity, Lord. We're lifting these things up to you. And Thank you, God, that you hear us and that when we don't know how to pray, you know how to pray for us. And so we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. These things represent so many things to us and cause us sometimes so much pain and suffering thinking about them. But, Lord, we pray for your comfort. We pray for your peace in the midst of these unspokens. And we pray that you would just give us that peace that passes all understanding. Thank you tonight, Lord, for your word as we get into it. We pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive it. And, Lord, we just praise you for the opportunity to be together with those folks online as we enter into this time of Bible study. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, amen and amen. All right, well, let's take a copy of God's word and stand if we can. And we're in Revelation, almost said Romans. We're not in Romans, we are in Revelation. It's another book of the Bible that begins with R. Revelation, we've been in it for quite some time. We're coming down the home stretch here, man. I mean, we're in the second to the last chapter. We're looking at three verses this evening that we seek to make an introduction and deep dive upon. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 9. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 9. The Word of God reads, "Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, a stone of crystal, clear jasper." Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, as we get going tonight, one of my most favorite, comforting funeral passages that I have preached, I'd have to go back and look at my files. I've probably got three manila files on funerals. I've got funerals by dates, and then they're linked by what church I was at the time. So there's a church file here, and it's got dates on it, and then a church file here, and it's got dates on it. And I went back and looked, no telling how many times I have preached out of John 14 at a funeral. It is a powerful passage. The setting of John 14, or the scene, is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. And during all of that, I love how the passage begins. The weight of humanity's sin beginning to come down upon the Savior. And this is what he says, John 14. And I won't read all of it, but verses 1 through 4. The Word of God reads, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am. Am going." Amen. Well, what is the Father's house that Jesus referred to in one of my most favorite passages? Well, the Father's house is none other than the New Jerusalem here in our passage tonight, where God will live with His people forever. For you see, the Father's house is the present heaven, where God dwells with the holy angels and where the redeemed go when they die. As you have already heard, as I have attempted to teach, the Father's house is the place that the Lord has prepared for the saints, and it will descend in the eternal state where it will be the capital city of the new heaven and of the new earth. Well, just as a person preparing to travel to a foreign country, desires information about that country. So believers, at least I do, amen, hopefully you do, at least believers, folks like us, we long for a glimpse of that glorious place where we will live eternally. Don't you want to know where you're one day going to end up? Amen? Right? Knowing our eager sense of anticipation, that's how God created us, right? With an eager sense of anticipation. God has provided us, as believers, with a description of heaven. Now, there's only a select few details are given to us, and I believe that's by design, because the ones that we have are still staggering. The ones that we have, the details are still mind-boggling. And the ones that we have, when we think about the details of where we're going, it's overwhelming at times thinking about. And I think this is about all that our human finite minds can handle, so that's why this is all we have as far as detail. As the vision of the New Jerusalem unfolds, history has ended. The time, what we call time is no more. John and his readers are transported to the eternal state, having described the fearful eternal destination of the damned that will end up in the lake of fire, verse 8, and it is also referred to in chapter 20, 14, and 15. The vision now takes the beloved John, the exiled apostle, to the blissful eternal state, the eternal resting place of the redeemed. Now, because the New Jerusalem is the capital city of heaven and the link between the new heaven and the new earth, the New Jerusalem is central to the vision and is described in far more detail than the rest of the eternal state. So what we have here is not everything we're going to get to experience. But what we have here to discuss is an awful lot. It's an awful lot. Amen? The book of Hebrews, along with Revelation, the book of Hebrews also mentions the glorious capital city of heaven. I'll give you the references if you want to look them up. Describing Abraham's faith, the writer of Hebrews stated this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. You know some of this passage. It'll sound real familiar to you. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. And this is the kind of the twist that points us right back where we're at tonight. Verse 10. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's pretty potent faith right there in the Old Testament, man. The book of Hebrews does not stop there in its reference to the New Jerusalem. For in the very next chapter, the writer in Hebrews, he penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the New Jerusalem again in Hebrews chapter 12, this time verses 22 and 24. Listen to it as I read it to you. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Now, as the author of Hebrews closed out the epistle, he reminded his readers of this in Hebrews chapter 13, 14. He says, for here we do not have a lasting city. That's what he says. He says, for here, talking about on earth, we do not have a lasting city. But he goes on to say, but we are seeking the city which is to come. The city which is to come is what we have before us. What Abraham, the writer of Hebrews, and the rest of the redeemed have anticipated by faith It was revealed to and described by John. I begin with you tonight as far as giving you a specific point. I begin with this. Do you like tours? Do you like to go on tours? Jeremiah was talking tonight. He says, cheaper. Somebody shared, was it Tiffany that said that? Tiffany said it's cheaper to who said what now? Okay, so it's cheaper to retire than it is going to a nursing home. Yeah, some nursing homes. Yeah, amen. And what are those cruises famous for? Amen. They come into port and they have these excursions. They have these tours, right? And they're always a little extra, amen. Unless you get an all-inclusive cruise and they throw some tours in. But that's basically point number one. It's not about cruises, but it is about the tour. The tour, this is the tour, the excursion of all excursions. The tour of all tours unfolds for John in this verse 9, 10, and 11. I want you to notice the tour guide, right? Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Right? Notice the tour guide. As the vision opened, an angel appeared to call John's attention to the city. Now, the last appearance of an angel was 1,000 years earlier in the book of Revelation. 1,000 years earlier at the beginning of the millennium, per chapter 20, verse 1. Now, what can we say about the angels, the angelic realm in the book of Revelation? Angels, if you haven't figured it out, if you haven't grasped it yet, grasp it now. Angels play a significant role in Revelation, and this particular angel was involved in the tribulation judgments. Now, you remember those judgments, don't you? The tribulation judgments? Everybody? Right? Those judgments unfolded in three ever-increasing in severity series of judgments. You had the what? What was the first ones? Seals. That is correct. What was the second ones? The trumpets. And then that broke into the bowl judgments. That is correct, friend. Therefore, this angel was one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, per 15, verse 1. Either he or another of those seven angels also introduced the impending judgment of the harlot city of Babylon. You remember that all the way back to Revelation 17, 1. Making the contrast between the two cities apparent. That's the old world system, Babylon. That was no more. Well, here comes this one, man. Chapter 21, verses 9, 10, and 11. Now, notice how the tour is pitched, right? Right? Notice how it's pitched. Came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Remember, as we have already discussed, the New Jerusalem is described as a bride because the city draws its character from its occupants. Now, those occupants consist of the Bride of the Lamb, a title originally given to the church per Revelation 19:7. But as we discussed in reviewing with you tonight, that group has now been enlarged to encompass all the redeemed of all the ages who live there forever and ever. We talked about, I don't know, several Bible studies ago, we all end up, those that have put faith in God, looking toward the cross, faith in God, looking back to the cross. Those that have put faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in the Messiah, those that have exercised faith, we all end up the same place. And here we are, right? Here we are, right here at the New Jerusalem. Amen? So, the New Jerusalem is likened to a bride because the redeemed are forever united to God and the Lamb. Praise the Lord for that. In addition, the New Jerusalem is further defined as the wife of the Lamb because the marriage has taken place. Consummation has already taken place per Revelation 19:7. Now, notice how the tour begins, okay? Come here, I will show you the bride of the wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit, right? John's incredible vision began when the angel carried him away in the Spirit. Now, you'll remember that when he received the visions that comprised the book of Revelation, the aged apostle was a prisoner of the Romans on the island of Patmos, per Revelation chapter 1:9. That is correct. Amen. But he, my friends, do you believe, really believe that, Pastor? I do. He was transported from there in an amazing spiritual journey to see what unaided human eyes could never see. Somehow, some way, in the midst of the vision, he was able to see it by the Spirit of God. Now, you don't think those were dreams? Mm-mm. No, I don't think this was a result of too many onions and sauerkraut. I don't. John's visions were not dreams, but spiritual realities. Just like those of Paul, what Paul saw when he was also caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Now, we've noticed how the tour begins and noticed the pitch of the tour, and it's the tour of all tours unfolding for John. Notice the tour's stops, right? On this tour, we're going to have beautiful stops. The first stop, what are the stops here? And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. The first stop was a great and high mountain. Notice the mountains are back. Amen? The mountains are back. New heaven and new earth. Mountains are back, baby. From that vantage point, don't you like the mountains? Amen? You like mountains? You know, when I was younger, I liked the ocean, right? I liked the salt water. You know what I like now? I like the mountains. You know why I like the mountains? It's hot on the coast. You know what it is in the mountains? It's cold in the mountains. Feels good, amen? I think the older I get, the more colder I want, right? And Stephanie's not like that. She's the other way. She don't mind visiting the mountains. She likes James. She likes the heat. Turn the heat up. Oh, man, turn the heat down, right? Unless she's sleeping. If she's sleeping, she wants a pile of covers over in the house like a refrigerator. Yeah. House like a refrigerator. Like a refrigerator with a pile of blankets and pillows all over you. Amen? All right. But anyway, back to our tour. Amen? The first stop was the great high mountain. From that vantage point, the angel showed John the holy city, Jerusalem. The apostle repeats his observation from verse 2 that verse 2 of chapter 21. Verse 2, that the new Jerusalem came down out of heaven from God. That emphasizes its divine origin. It is the city whose architect and builder is God, for Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. What John is witnessing is not the creation of heaven. It is merely the descent of what already existed from eternity past and is now situated in the center of the new heaven and the new earth. The most distinguishing characteristic of the capital city of eternity is that it is the throne of the eternal, almighty One, our God. And therefore, it had the glory of God in it. The glory, God's glory, will reach its fullest expression there. The glory will be unlimited. The glory will be unconfined. The glory will flash from that city throughout the recreated universe. The glory of God is the sum total of His attributes and is manifested as blazing light and in His Son, Jesus. John chapter 17, verse 24 says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. Now, we're reminded of the reality of the sadness that though God revealed His glory, disobedient, rebellious people rejected Him. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the embodiment of God's glory in human form, was despised and forsaken of men. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. So, one of the takeaways you want to have tonight, I haven't despised Him. I haven't forsaken Him. I love Him, and He saved me. I came to Him a sinner, and I confessed my sin, and He entered in. So I've not forsaken Him. I've not despised Him. I'm still what tonight? Heaven bound. Amen? For you see, radiating from the New Jerusalem will be the brilliance of the full manifestation of God's glory, so much so that as verse 23 says of chapter 21, the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The lamp is Christ. Now, what I love about the Bible, studying it this week, I've read those passages in Hebrews, I don't know how many times, but studying it in the commentaries and making the connections, that's good stuff, man. The Bible is just so connected. The Bible's so intertwined. The truth is not just found in one place. The truth is found all over. That's the beauty of it. Amen? As we close it out tonight, the prophet Isaiah, he foresaw way back then, he foresaw the same reality. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19 says, Isaiah 60, 19, no longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Amen. Sounds like an exciting place. I'm glad I'm heading there. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, as we dive on deeper down a few more verses from where we were last time. 9, 10, and 11. Thank You, Lord. We take another chunk of Your Word, try to break it down, try to get some things out of it. A lot of things we already know. Some of these things are reminders to us. These things affirm us in the faith and encourage us in our faith, and we praise You and thank You for them. Lord, thank You that we can have the truth and experience the truth, and thank You that we have experienced the truth spiritually in receiving Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. And we pray for those that have not done this, that have not experienced salvation. We pray for them. We pray that before it is eternally too late, they will find it within themselves to quit running, to quit denying, to quit forsaking. But Lord, they would turn, break, submit, and obey the gospel message. Father God, we pray for those that we know that are lost, some that we love, some that we just know, but we pray for them. We pray they would receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. May You make intercession, Lord, for us as we think about these different names and who they represent. the lives they're living, the lives that need to be changed, the lives that need to be turned around, the lives that need to have Jesus inserted into them. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved us. Thank you that you still save. And Lord, we pray that the lost would receive you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.